بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، صلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين، لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين. أجل الله تعالى فرجه الشريف وجعلنا من أعوانه وأنصاره إن شاء الله. Inshallah, we are going to talk a little bit about Hajj and spirituality, the spirituality of Hajj. Of course, you don't expect such a big person, you know, to go into, you know, a very deep ocean about the spirituality of Hajj. Just a little bit, you know, I try. We must know that Tawheed for us is not something just related to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the way that we look at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of course, we believe that Allah is one. But when we have chosen Tawheed as one of our principles of religion and faith, it's much more far-reaching. Tawheed is to shape and to form all aspects of our belief and our practice. Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala totally must change our life. It's not just that I think Allah is the one and then everything can be like a person who does not believe in the unity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If I am a real Muwahhid, a real monotheist, by looking at my behavior, by looking at my business, the way that I treat my family, my people, you should realize that this Tawheed is there. The great Allama Tabatabai in Al-Mizan has very important idea. And as far as I know, he is the first person to notify this. He says that when we study all the books about akhlaq and morality, whether the books written by humans, by scholars, or even sacred books, we find that the Quran is exceptional. And before Quran, there has never been such an attention to the issue of Tawheed. He says, for example, if you consider Greek philosophers, the way that they were treating akhlaq, people like, you know, Socrates, like Aristotle, like Plato, or even if you come, for example, to Torah and Injil, the way that they treat akhlaq is very simple. You know, there are certain, you know, for example, characters, they have, you know, good and positive aspects, or they may go wrong. You must be careful to acquire virtues. You must be worried to be suffering from vices. So you must treat yourself if you suffer from, for example, you know, jealousy or whatsoever. Very simple. There are differences, but just like this. But Allama Tabatabai says that Quran has a unique approach. According to the Quran, all our problems start with failure to remember Tawheed. If we really believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with His attributes, attributes of beauty and glory, we will never suffer from any illness or disease. There may be 100 or 200, I don't know. No one has been able to exhaust the number of the, you know, deficiencies and the problems that we may have. It's very difficult to treat them one by one. Maybe it takes you ages to get rid of one bad, you know, character. But if you awaken your sense of tawheed and you really believe that you are to be a humble servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His, whose hand is everything, then every problem will be sorted out automatically. So he explained this into further details. Just I wanted to give you some idea that how tawheed goes beyond the boundaries of our theology and touches, you know, our spirituality. Even it touches our Islamic law. Can you find any aspect of Islamic law in which tawheed is not manifest? Even, you know, if you go to Islamic judiciary system, again you see that there is a sense of tawheed. Even if you go to Muslim architecture, you see that there is tawheed. Everywhere you can find this tawheed. So, if you want to reach this tawheed, one of the best means is to perform Hajj. Hajj has two aspects. One is the ritual aspect, and one is the inner aspect. But both, maybe it's some of the rare, you know, cases that you find, both the ritual and the spiritual are very much related to tawheed. All people from all over the world in the same time go to the same place, and not only to the same city, also to the same location for a period of time, whether the person is the king or an ordinary person, whether it's the rich or the poor, an elite or a lay person, male or female, old or young, all leave behind all the differences and gather together to commemorate the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the path that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has shown us. If we want to have a symbolic presentation of Tawheed in the world, what can be better than Hajj? This is not real Tawheed, this is symbolic presentation of Tawheed. Of course, Tawheed is not in, to be, you know, shown in this earth. But this is one of the maybe best and artistic way of presenting Tawheed. And the good point is that this Tawheed is, as I said, something related to the life of the people. It's not just Tawheed of Allah. It's a Tawheed which makes everything unified. So, people throughout the year are asked to remember Mecca. We always, you know, say our prayers, you know, directing towards Mecca. I think maybe one reason for this is to prepare them for Hajj and to put in the mind of every Muslim that you must always be concerned about Mecca and about Hajj. And, you know, Imam Ali alayhi salam, in his will, had a very high recommendation for performing Hajj and paying attention to the house of Allah. He said, Allah, Allah, fi bayt rabbikum. He asked them to pay attention to the house of Allah and said, you should not leave the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be empty or less attended. So, we always remember and are reminded of house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and inshallah I will talk about this house, so that we get prepared to do at least once upon a life a very beautiful and deep and profound presentation of Tawheed for me as a person and for Islamic world as a very large community. So Tawheed is very manifest, very apparent aspect of Hajj. We read in the Quran, we recite in the Quran that the Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam, who was champion of Tawheed, was asked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after a long journey that he had to Mecca, he was asked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to perform Hajj. But not just himself. He was asked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to call and invite people for Hajj. وَأَذَّنْ فِي النَّاسِ بِالْحَجِّ. He was asked to invite all people. People may come on foot or on very thin camels. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that one of the things that he asked Ibrahim was not to associate anyone to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So from the very beginning, it was clear that Hajj must be pure manifestation of Tawheed. And when we go to Mecca, it's very interesting that we are reconstructing what Ibrahim alayhi salam did, the father of Tawheed, champion of Tawheed. So in a sense, we are telling ourselves that I must be prepared to do whatever Ibrahim did. And if I ask you, tell me one thing that Ibrahim did, what was that? He established Tawheed. He made into pieces all the idols. He defeated the idea of polytheism and then established Tawheed. And this is something which leads us to the spiritual aspect of Hajj. It's not just going there, being together physically, just performing some rituals. We must be able, like Ibrahim alayhi salam, to establish Tawheed. Not just to say La ilaha illallah. You must establish Tawheed. And you must establish Tawheed first inside our hearts. Unfortunately, many people, you know, go to Hajj, including myself. And when they come back, they are not that much, you know, touched by the spirituality of Hajj. It's just like a journey, like a ziyarah, for example, for them at most. If it's not a business, at most it's like a ziyarah. And it said that once someone came back from Hajj and he was asked, how was it? He said it was very good, but unfortunately we couldn't visit the grave of God. We didn't find it. He thought that, you know, it's like a ziyarah, we go and visit the grave of God or the dome of God. And unfortunately, although it is maybe like a joke, but many people think that we are going to visit a place which belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that's it. But this is to change our life. If we must perform prayer 5 times a day, if we must fast 1 month every year, this shows that we need for our happiness the effect of prayer on a daily basis and the effect of fast on a monthly, you know, or yearly, annual basis. But Hajj is so powerful if it is performed well that performing once in your life would be enough. Especially if you can do it, you know, very early when you are very young. So that is enough to change us, to transform us. Otherwise, if it was needed to do more, so Allah could have said you must perform 2 hours or 3 times or 4 times. But once upon a life is enough to secure our happiness. So it shows the power that exists in Hajj, if it is performed properly. I think one of the elements, because we have very limited time, so I am running indeed, in my way. One of the very important things that we must observe in Hajj, and let the spirituality of Hajj touch our heart, is to get rid of our selfishness. Many of us are very much dependent on our normal way of life. The way that, we dress, the day that we eat, the day that we treat, the way that we treat people, and the way that we expect people treat us, all are very important for us. If you go to your office or, to wherever, you work, and you find that people, treat you differently, not like other days, sometimes you may get angry. Sometimes if you go to a place and people don't stand up, before you, in front of you, don't respect you, don't greet you, you become angry. For many people, it's very important that whether they sit, for example, in the top, or, for example, just somewhere in the end. Because we are very much tied and fastened to all these things. Hajj is to help us to get rid of all these things. When you are in Hajj, very simply, very naturally, you become free. It's like a newborn person. You don't say, I have a special, diet, or I have to wear a special, dress, or, people must, for example, call me, in very specific, for example, a style with etiquette and whatsoever. I have seen myself, many great personalities, many great figures, whether religious or non-religious, during the Hajj, all are accessible. You can be with them, you can talk to them. They are ordinary, like any other person. No security, no, people who accompany them. Very simple. And this is the way that Hajj must be. And everyone is to carry his own burden. You cannot say, because I am a very important person, so other people must do on my behalf. You are there as an ordinary person, just as anyone else. This helps us to get rid of selfishness. This is very important. So when you are there, you feel that you are like a drop in an ocean. You are not a very big person. You are just a servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if we can keep that feeling, it will be very useful for us. Once I asked one of the very highest ulama, Ayatollah from Tehran, who is a very well-known student of Allama Tabatabai in spirituality. So I asked him in Hajj, during Hajj in Mecca, what should we do? What is your advice for us? And the advice that he gave me was this: try to get rid of your selfishness. Try to come out of all these, fabricated, artificial things that, you have created for yourself. Just to be yourself. And he said, if you lose this chance, it was very important for me. He said, if you don't do this in Hajj, you will never be able to do that later. If someone goes to Hajj and cannot change himself, then he cannot change himself when he returns. It's like Ramadan. If someone is not forgiven in Ramadan, so it's very difficult. And we have this either in Ramadan or in the day of Arafah. It's very difficult. Because it's, you know, like, for example, someone who has been taken to the bathroom. If, for example, he is not cleaned in the bath, so how can he become clean later? So when you are taken to Hajj and you are not purified there, so you shouldn't expect that you will be clean later. So we should reach that level and then we should maintain it. Some people, when they are in Hajj, they are very in very good mood. But when they go back, they forget. There is a very beautiful poem by Nasser Khosrow. I don't know if you have heard his name. Nasser Khosrow was a great poet and a scholar, and he has also a very famous Safarname, which means, you know, a narration about the journey that he had. And Ismailis believe, and they say that he was Ismaili. So they call him as Ismaili. Like, you know, even they say Khaja Nasiruddin Tusi was Ismaili. I don't know. Definitely Khaja Nasir was not Ismaili. But about Nasser Khosrow, I personally don't know. But anyway, he was a Muslim and he was a Shia. He has a very beautiful poem. And I heard this poem maybe 20 years ago. And since then, I never forget this poem. He says, حاجیان آمدند با تعظیم شاکر از رحمت خدای رحیم. He describes a meeting with some of his friends, one of his friends, very close friends, who had just back from Hajj. So he says, all the Hajis returned from Hajj and they were very thankful that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them this opportunity to perform Hajj. آمده سوی مکه از عرفات زده لبیک عمره از تعظیم. They have all come from Mecca, from Arafat. They have said لبیک. So they have performed all this. یافته حج و عمره کرده تمام. بازگشته به سوی خانه سلیم. They have performed حج and عمره and now they are healthy back in their home. Alhamdulillah, we performed our حج and we are safe home. Back. من شدم ساعتی به استقبال پای کردم برون زهد گلی. Said, I spent some time, 1 hour, but 1 hour doesn't mean 60 minutes. No, some while. Welcoming Hajis, pilgrims. But he said, I went beyond my limits. In Farsi, when we say, you know, I put my feet outside the carpet, it means that, you know, I surpassed my limits. So I said something maybe rude or something, you know, more than what I should say. مرمرا در میان قافله بود دوستی مخلص و عزیز و کریم. In the caravan, قافله, no, the caravan, I had a very dear friend who was very pure and very noble. So now we have a very important conversation here. گفتم او را بگوی چون رستی زین سفر کردن به رنج و به بیم. I told him, please tell me, what was the result of all these efforts that you made? How did you finish your journey? بازگو تا چگونه داشتی حرمت آن بزرگوار حریم. Tell me, how could you respect the dignity of that sanctuary? That important place. How could you show the respect? How could you honor that place? چون همی خواستی گرفت احرام چه نیت کردی اندر آن تحریم. When you wanted to start the state of احرام, so what was your intention? احرام is to forbid. Okay? So what were those things that you forbade? جمله بر خود حرام کرده بودی هرچه مادون کردگار عظیم. Did you forbid for yourself to pay attention to anything other than Allah? So ihram is not just, you know, not to use perfume or, you know, not to kill, for example, insect or whatsoever. Ihram is to say that I only will pay attention to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I will only love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I will only perform what He asked me to perform. This is ihram. So he said, I asked him this. Go off, nay. No, he said no. گفتمش زدی لبیک اثر علم و اثر تعظیم. I told him, when you said لبیک, was that لبیک out of your knowledge and out of your glorification of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Did you know that to whom you are saying لبیک? میشنیدی ندای حق و جواب باز داشتی چنانچه داد کلیم. When you said labbaik, did you hear the answer, the response, in the way that Musa Kalimullah was given a word by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Goft nay. Goftamash cho dar Arafat istadi o yafti taqdim, arif haq shodi o munkar khish, be to az ma'rifat rasid nasim. When you went to Arafat, Arafat is place of knowledge. So did you become Arif when you went to Arafat? Did you know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala properly? Was there any breeze, any naseem of spirituality and irfan there for you? And did you deny yourself? Arif haq shodi yo munkar khish? Because when you know Allah, it means that you know that you are nothing. Okay? Gof nay. The poor person said, no. We didn't have such a person in our caravan to say this to us. Gof nay. Goftamash chomi rafti dar haram hamcho ahle kahf raqim. When you went to the sanctuary, to haram, did you go in the way that the people of the cave, the seven sleepers, they left everything so that they can totally be obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They left everything behind. They had very high positions. Goft nay. Goftamash cho sang jamar hami andakhti be div rajim. Az khod andakhti borun yek su hame adat o fe'l hay zamin. Said, I asked him, when you threw the stone, seven stones in Oistan, to the Satan, did you get rid of all the satanic character in your heart? It's, you know, to ridicule, you know, yourself. You throw away to the stone and then you, to, because that is not Satan, that is, you know, a stone. But the real Satan is in your heart. So, what is, you know, the guilt of that, you know, a stone that you throw away? You must throw a stone to yourself. So he said, I asked him, when you were throwing a stone, were you worried about yourself? Gof nay. Goftamash chumi kushdi gusvan rao az peye asir o yatim. I asked him, when you were slaughtering, you know, the sheep for the poor people, for the people who could not afford, you know, because for beggars, for poor, for the people who are asir, captives, you know, for orphans. So he said, when you were slaughtering the sheep, قرب حق دیدی اولو کردی قتل قربان نفس لعین. You know that this is قربانی. What does قربانی mean? قربان means something that makes you closer. This is the meaning of قربان. We have in hadith, As-salatu qurbanu kulli taqi. Prayer is qurban, means something that makes you closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we call this sheep qurbani, because when we slaughter this for the sake of Allah, it makes us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But this person says, did you realize that this was not a physical act to just slaughter an innocent, you know, sheep? This was to tell yourself that you must be prepared to do sacrifice. So when you slaughter that sheep, were you prepared to do sacrifice for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Were you prepared to slaughter your temptations and your guilty soul? گفت نه. گفتمش چو گشتی تو مطلع بر مقام ابراهیم. I asked him, when you reached the place of Ibrahim alayhi salam, where the Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam was standing, کردی از صدق و اعتقاد و یقین خیشی خیش را به حق تسلیم. Did you truly, genuinely submit yourself to Allah? Ibrahim submitted himself to Allah. So when you went there, in the place that Ibrahim was there, it was not just to take a picture and say, stood up where Ibrahim stood up. What is the point? Because many of us, like this, we say, okay, we take pictures and then we show everyone that we were there. But this is not enough. You are there to do the same thing that Ibrahim did. Ibrahim submitted himself to Allah. So he said, did you submit yourself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala truly? گفت نه. Said no. گفتمش چو کردی سعی از صفا سوی مروه بر تقسیم. This is very profound. دیدی اندر صفای خود کونین؟ شد دلت فارغ از جحیم و نعیم؟ He said, you were going between Safa and Marwa. Safa, what does Safa mean? Safa means purity. So he said, when you were going between Safa and Marwa, you must have achieved purity. Were you able, this is very profound, he has put lots of meaning in one sentence. دیدی اندر صفای خود کونین. It means that were you able to see in your piety dunya and akhirah? If we really understand the capacity that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, then whole dunya and akhirah will be included in our heart. Dunya and akhirah is smaller than the heart of mu'min. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لا يسعني عرضي ولا سمائي ولكن يسعني قلب عبدي المؤمن. Neither my heaven nor my earth can contain me, but the heart of mu'min can contain me. So when heart of mu'min can contain Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, cannot it contain dunya and akhirah? And what does it mean to contain dunya and akhirah? It means that you must realize that you are more important than dunya and akhirah. So he asked him, did you find in your purity that neither dunya nor akhirah can attract you? You are not working for the sake of sawab. You are not working because you are frightened by jahannam and punishment. گفت نه. گفتمش تو گشتی باز مانده از هجر کعبه دل بدونیم، کردی آنجا به گور مر خود را همچنانی کنون که گشت رمی. I told him, when you came back and your heart is still there and your heart is broken into pieces, some pieces here, some pieces there, the one who comes back from Mecca always has memory of Mecca. Of course, a good haji, because I have seen some, hajis that when they stay few days, longer, they start complaining, why, we don't go quicker, to our countries. But the real haji is not, counting the days for going back. So he said, when you, came back and you had your heart, there, did you put into the grave your soul? Did you bury your soul there and came back when everything was, you know, finished? The person, you know, said, maybe this goes on and on. So he said something to finish this conversation. So he said, Goft adin bab harche gufti man nadanestam sahih o sharif. Said, whatever, you know, you said and similar things, I have never heard, you know. I have no idea about this. Goftam ey dost, pas nakardi hajj. Nashodi dar maqam mahmud. So I said, my friend, I'm sorry, you haven't performed hajj. رفته و مکه دیده آمده باز مهنت بادیه خریده بسین. Yes, you have visited Mecca and you made, you know, some effort and you paid, you know, something, some money for this journey. مهنت بادیه means the difficulties of visiting that desert. You undertook and paid some money. سیم means نقره, means silver. So this is just what you did. گر تو خواهی که حج کنی پس از این, if you want to do حج another time, این چنین کن که کردمت تعلیم. Perform it in the way that I taught you. When you go for ihram, for labbaik, for whatsoever, do it in the way that I taught. And I finish by a quick description of what Allama Naraghi said in his book about a young person who went for Hajj. This is the last one. He said that he heard from one alim, Allama Naraghi from another alim, that once they were going for Hajj on feet, and that alim said, in our caravan, there was a young person who was very special. He was always alone. He was not speaking to anyone, not, you know, getting close to anyone. Sometimes he was going ahead, sometimes behind. Okay? But not with anyone. So this alim said that I was very much attached to this person and touched by his piety. So he was alim, respected. They said to that young person, is it okay if I accompany you on our way? We sit together, speak together, you know, eat together. He said, no, I'm sorry, I must be alone. So, you know, even he refused to be with that alim. So he said, he was always, you know, in his own, you know, world. And after a while, we reached Mecca and we didn't see him anymore. We lost him. One night, I was going to Masjid al-Haram and, you know, there was no light at that time. It was just, you know, when there was moon, it was, you know, bright. If there was no moon, it was dark. So the moon had shadow. So if, for example, this is Kaaba, so moon was, you know, shining from this side. So this part of Masjid al-Haram was dark. Okay? So he said, I was going for tawaf, then a very weak voice called me and asked me to stop. And I saw that is the young person. But first it was difficult for me to recognize because it was very pale, very weak. So that young person told him that I am the one that was in your caravan and I am going to die soon. So now I want to tell you something. What was my secret? This is what Allama Naraghi mentioned. So the young person said that when I was in my town, once I had a call I heard some call from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, why don't you come to visit my house? And you know, when we say Allah's house, it means that this is house of people. You know, when you, for example, build an orphanage, you may say, this is my orphanage, but this is for the sake of orphans. So when we say house of Allah, we shouldn't think that this is a house to serve Allah. This is house that Allah has created to serve humanity. And this is why Allah says, إِنَّ أَوَّلَ بَيْتٍ وَضَعَ لِلنَّاسِ. So Baytullah means base of people. So he said, I decided to go for Hajj. Early in my journey, I had the second call, that you must be more inclined towards us than us for you. So a little bit complaint from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that if you are loving us, you should be more interested in coming to us than we, you know, asking you to come. So I was always, you know, busy with this in my mind. I was, you know, worried about this. On my way to Mecca, then I had another call. And I was told, in our path, Allah said, in our path, the path of love, you are like a child. You are very naive. So he said, I have more worry. You know, Allah first invited him. Then Allah said, this is not right. You should love us more than what we love you. And then Allah said, you are like a child. And he said, when I reached Mecca and I wanted to say labbaik, then I heard the voice, la labbaik, wa la sa'd. Allah said, no. A great alim has a beautiful commentary here. He said, this is one of contemporary alims who has made commentary on this story by Allama al-Arabi. It's a real story. He said, this shows a progress. It may look that that person is not making progress, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is gradually reducing his attention. But it is not true. Indeed, he is making more progress, and Allah is preparing him to get rid of his selfishness. So, first of all, to attract him, Allah invited him. But not to suffer from pride or self-admiration, Allah told him, you must love us more than us. But Allah didn't say anything more, because if he said something more, maybe it was more than his capacity. Maybe he could just have left everything. Then after a while, Allah said, you are like a child in the school in which people like Ibrahim, like Imam Ali, like Imam Sajjad were learning how to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are just a child. Even you are not a child. We are not even in nursery. If in this school there are great alims and arifs, even we are not, you know, in the stage of nursery. And then when he said labbaik, which was the final stage, Allah, to make him totally detached from everything, said la labbaik. And that alim said, I wish I could hear the voice saying to me, la labbaik. And even he said, I wish I could hear the voice that Allah telling me, chekh. You know, in Farsi we say to dog. When you want to stop dog, we say chekh. I don't know what you say. Sometimes these are international, but sometimes are different. So he said, I wish even I could hear such a voice. from heaven, because this shows my significance. If a call comes from heaven telling me not to do this, it shows my significance. But most of us are not very significant, so we don't, you know. We say 1 million times labbaik, doesn't, you know, make any change. So this person was being prepared by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his final journey. And he died. So this alim said, I talked to the people who were, you know, local people in Mecca from the Shia, and we invited Shia pilgrims, and we had very good, you know, funeral for him, and just to commemorate his name. So this is the way that a real love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take away from you your rest. You cannot, you know, no longer, you know, you can be very ordinary person. It's very difficult. You will always be thinking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like, sometimes you become like mad people. You know, if you taste, even for once, the sweetness of being close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you will never enjoy from anything. Can we enjoy from eating kebab? Really, it's for, we are very, you know, like children, like, the one who enjoys from kebab or from having, you know, comfortable, you know, house or from car or whatsoever, it's because we haven't tasted that beauty. And maybe it is good because we can have our, you know, life, you know, regularly, and maybe this is good. I don't know. We pray that inshallah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us to, first of all, know him properly, and then inshallah obey him, and then love him, and then be loved by him, inshallah. We pray that all those brothers and sisters that perform Hajj, inshallah, this year will be able to perform it in the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with, and return safely, inshallah, to their homes. And inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hasten the reappearance of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, to whom Hajj is very much related, and we believe that, you know, Imam Mahdi alayhi salam performs Hajj every year, so it's very important to remember Imam Mahdi alayhi salam when we are there, and inshallah Imam will pray inshallah for us. Thank you very much. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillah rabbil alamin. Oh,